Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Vacation on Union Station by E.M. Foner. Narrated by Holly Jackson. Chapter 1. In conclusion, the recent review of EarthSense policy on earned vacation time, conducted by Embassy Manager Donna Dougal at the request of our new junior consul, has brought to light the fact that my maternity leave of 6 years ago was charged against future vacation days and that the 6 months I believed I had saved up for a sabbatical existed only in my imagination.
You tell him, Ambassador, the aforementioned junior consul egged her on.
Kelly wasn't used to having a human audience for her weekly reports to EarthSense, but somebody had suggested it would be good training for Daniel. Now that she thought about it, that somebody had been Daniel himself. What really set her off about the retroactive policy change was the way it had been discovered. After working just a month, her new assistant had asked Donna to find out if there was a way he could be credited for earned vacation time early, or on credit, as he put it. Hopefully, I just did tell them. Kelly replied. I like to think that less is more when it comes to stating an official grievance, and I doubt it would melt the icy hearts of those human resources fiends to hear how much my children were looking forward to going somewhere.
That's why I used up all of my vacation time and unpaid educational leave before I began working here, Daniel told her. I'm an EarthSense brat, you know. My father worked for them until I was nearly 10, so I heard all about the whole pay and benefits thing before I even started.
I don't think I ever met your father, Kelly said. Kohan doesn't ring a bell, but if you were 10, that means he retired around 22 years ago. I've been with EarthSense for a while, and we might have overlapped a couple of years. Just when I was starting out, I mean.
He didn't retire. He got fired, Daniel told her, though he made it sound like a joke. My dad was in charge of the bid process to select a terraforming contractor for Venus, and my mom ran a little public relations agency that specialized in representing alien construction consortiums in the Sol system.
Oh, I may have heard something about that, Kelly said, suddenly feeling embarrassed. After EarthSense awarded the contract to the Dalniks, some of the other aliens complained to the president that they had been promised the work in return for cash payments.
Yeah, that was my parents.
Daniel sounded almost proud.
The Strix didn't care, since my mom was the one who took the money and she didn't work for EarthSense. But old President Lin was worried that spouses selling influence would set a bad precedent, so he and my dad worked out the firing story.
So he wasn't fired? Kelly asked.
Well, he accepted being fired, but he could have refused, since he hadn't broken any rules at the time. The truth is, my mom cleared so much money selling imaginary influence that they could afford to retire and see the galaxy. My dad still writes long reports about the places they visit, and he sends them back to EarthSense as if he were still working for them. I mentioned it to Clive and Blythe, and after reading the reports from the archives, they told me they have a retirement job for him if he wants it.
I wondered how you could be so poised with all of the aliens at your age, but that explains it. You spent your youth traveling.
I met more plants than aliens, though sometimes they're the same thing, Daniel replied. My parents married while they were still in graduate school, where they were both studying to be evolutionary biologists. My dad still regrets not deferring his start at EarthSense until he finished his degree, but not many people can turn down that invitation. Anyway, he's the one who told me you should always use up your vacation time between postings or they'd come up with a way to take it back.
Where are your parents now?
On some world with breathable air and decent tunnel access. My mom has a theory about meteor-borne microbes that she's trying to piece together by visiting as many planets as possible. I have a hard time imagining that all of the science wasn't sorted out by some species or other a long time ago, but I guess you never know.
So you went to visit your parents between leaving Middle Station and finally arriving here? I have to admit that I never knew EarthSense would grant unpaid educational leave before the president told me you were taking several months of it. I guess joining your parents and studying alien plants would qualify.
No, I used my vacation time to visit them. The educational leave was for a study of casino gambling I've been working on since before I joined EarthSense. It's not a degree program or anything, but I was talking about it with Jeeves, and he thinks the Strix might grant me some sort of certification through their open university. He also helped me publish my draft findings for alien gambling journalists, and I'm already getting some really good feedback from the Verlocs and the Tharks.
Is there really anything left to learn about casino games? Kelly wasn't a fan of gambling,
And though she'd finally gotten used to Joe hosting poker games and taking the children to the occasional horse race at the off-world betting parlor, she drew the line at casinos. I thought the people who owned the casinos had the games all worked out to the last decimal place.
There aren't many casinos left running house games like the roulette or blackjack you see in old Earth movies,
the junior consul explained.
Well, I take that back. Most casinos still have a version of the slots, basically lottery machines, though every once in a while somebody figures out how to break the latest technology and the manufacturers have to reinvent them from scratch. Between mind control and telekinesis, not to mention out-and-out magic, it's too tough to keep up with the cheaters. Most casinos today just provide bonded dealers in a safe environment for gamblers to play each other.
How does that eliminate cheating? Kelly inquired.
It doesn't,
Daniel said.
It ensures that the casino makes a steady profit on the table rake and the drinks. Whether or not there's cheating going on is up to the players to figure out. That's where casino security comes in, to keep the gamblers from killing each other.
Well, I guess if the Strix recognize your work as educational. Kelly was dubious about the whole thing, but she wanted to give her new assistant the benefit of the doubt.
I study how gamblers change their play depending on who else is at the table,
Daniel explained.
I lasted almost 3 months this time with a starting stake of less than 1,000 creds. I'd make a good living playing cards if I could figure out a foolproof way to spot the ringers.
The professionals pretending to be amateurs?
More like the species pretending to be other species,
Daniel replied.
I busted out on the last run to an artificial Dalnik who could count into more decks than me. The time before that, it was an old Virgalian woman passing as human. She and my money were 2 hours gone when the pheromones wore off, and I realized she wasn't just making a suggestion when she told me to bet the pot.
I never really thought about how unscrupulous aliens might be able to take advantage of each other at gambling, Kelly admitted.
Listen,
Daniel said, satisfied that he had successfully defended his hobby in returning to the prior subject.
If the Home Office won't reverse their decision about maternity leave, you should just go on vacation and not tell them. Anything I can't handle, I can always take to Instasitter.
You mean Earth-sent intelligence, Kelly corrected him.
They should change the display in the corridor if they want me to call it that.
The junior consul shot her one of his patented boyish grins.
Besides, every time I go there, I get mobbed by 3-year-olds.
My 2 godchildren do not constitute a mob, Libby interjected over the office speakers. Nor can their actions in welcoming you in any way be construed as mobbing.
That's my cue.
The junior consul got up, brushed the wrinkles out of his suit pants, and headed for the door.
See you all on Monday.
Bye, Kelly called after him. Daniel Kohan was such a complete change from Aisha that she sometimes forgot that he worked for her and not the other way around. A young-looking 32, he never seemed to lack confidence in what he was doing, and unlike Kelly, he had no problem with forgetting about work the moment he walked out the embassy door. Maybe that would change someday if he became an ambassador, but she wouldn't bet on it, and not just because she disapproved of gambling. I'm sorry to hear you've been impacted by the retroactive changes to Earth's Sense Vacation policy, the station librarian told Kelly once they were alone. We've been trying to shift some of the Earth-sent personnel decisions to humans, and part of that process involves not looking over their shoulders. Well, I wish you'd go back to the old system then, Kelly said. I'd head for Earth myself and give whoever created that policy a piece of my mind, but it appears I can't afford the time off. What about Daniel's suggestion? Take a vacation and don't tell anybody. I don't want to set a bad example for my children or Daniel, for that matter. Besides, as much as I hate to admit it, we were having a hard time coming up with somewhere we really wanted to go. I guess Joe and I have become Union Station homebodies. There are worse things, Libby said, and the ambassador clearly heard a smile in the Strix's synthesized voice. I haven't gone anywhere in hundreds of thousands of years myself. Why don't you take a month off from work without leaving the station? Under the current Earth-sent rules for ambassadors, it doesn't count as a vacation as long as you remain on board your posting. Are you serious, Libby? I could stop coming into the embassy every day and they'd have to keep paying me. Ambassadors are officially on call 24 hours a day as long as they're on the station. That's how the job is defined. I wouldn't necessarily recommend telling Earth-sent that you aren't coming into the office, but Daniel and Donna can handle any visitors to the embassy. If anything comes up that really does require your presence, you're no further away by lift tube than you would be if you were at home. Where would I be if not at home? Kelly asked. I mean, we both know that EarthSent owes me that vacation time, and I'd just be taking back what's really mine, but I can't leave the station, and it would be silly to go stay in a hotel. I doubt we could even find one that would accept Beowulf. Jeeves tells me that Dorothy and Samuel are both a good age for camping and exploring, and I'm sure Griff would give you access to some of the uninhabited areas of the station. You know that he keeps plenty of decks in reserve against biological emergencies, and when a sentient race abandons a section for whatever the reason, he doesn't hurry to recycle it for another species. You never know if their descendants might make a comeback and return to the tunnel network, not to mention that it would be a crime to simply dispose of viable flora and fauna. Are you telling me that I've lived on this station for nearly 17 years, and I never knew that it was half empty? Kelly demanded. I seem to recall that you lived on the station for at least a dozen years before you found out that the deck above this one is occupied by the Chirts, Libby reminded her. Of course, it's not like you could have stumbled across any of the areas I'm talking about on your own, since the lift tubes wouldn't take you there without Griff's permission. But would the children really enjoy it? If this deck was unoccupied, I wouldn't want to come here on vacation. What would we do? Wander around the empty shops and corridors? I suppose an unoccupied ag deck might be nice for hiking, but it would be awfully quiet. Talk it over with Joe and the kids, Libby suggested. Most of the children on the station tell each other scary stories about the hidden decks, the same way you might have talked about haunted houses when you were young. You wouldn't have a brochure I could show my family for any of these places, would you? Kelly thought she managed to keep the suspicion out of her voice and substituted brochure for something in writing at the last second, but Libby noticed her hesitation. You don't trust me to pick out a nice vacation spot for you. Nothing made Kelly feel as guilty as when Libby intentionally flattened out her artificially generated voice to remove the emotional content. It was as if the Strix librarian was throwing up barriers to hide being hurt. Of course I trust you, Libby. It's just that picking out a place to go is one of the best parts of a vacation. I remember my parents telling me that when they were children, there used to be regional tourism offices you could ride away to, and then you would get brochures in the mail from dozens of campsites and local attractions. That was more than 70 years ago, but it sounded really fun. Would you settle for a hollow presentation? Of course, Kelly replied, realizing she'd trapped herself. It wasn't that she thought the station librarian would misrepresent the possible destinations, but Libby had a way of staging her presentations, so there didn't seem to be any doubt as to which option was the correct choice. I'll have something ready for you by the time you get home from Chastity's housewarming party, Libby said, instantly back to her usual cheerful self. Drat! I knew I was late for something, Kelly cried, jumping up from her desk. And Donna reminded me to get ready right before she went home. They're very happy with the influence Marcus is having on Chastity. She left Tinka in charge of Instasitter during the honeymoon, and she hasn't rushed back into working 7 days a week. I think you'll be impressed with their home, Libby commented. It's the only human residence on the station with a full dance floor. Chastity got permission from Griff to cut in a separate entrance so Marcus can give private lessons. I don't think I'd want my new husband teaching a bunch of single women how to dance, Kelly said. She must really trust him. The studio features the latest in immersive recording technology so that the students can practice the same steps at home with a hologram. Of course, Chastity will have a live feed to her office just in case she misses her husband while she's at work and wants to check in. Doveriai no proveriai, Kelly quoted over her shoulder on her way out of the office. Trust, but verify. She did go to my school after all, Libby said proudly. Chapter 2. I'm fine with taking care of Mac's bones while you're gone, as long as somebody else handles all of the training camp stuff, Paul assured his foster father. Maybe we'll join you for a whole weekend here and there if Faisha can get the time off from the Granuthians, but she's in the middle of the season. How long do you have before Kelly needs to be back for her next show? She decided against doing any more live broadcasts, and they've already pre-recorded the next episode, Joe replied. She was in the studio with the Verloc ambassador working on it all day yesterday. I don't know why it never occurred to me, but it turns out that Ambassador Srithlin can only keep up with alien conversations thanks to special training. Even with the best implants, most Verlocs can't easily participate in back-and-forth discussions with other species because we all talk too fast. I thought they only spoke slowly, but I guess it makes sense that they'd be accustomed to hearing language at the same speed they grew up speaking it. So how did the Grunuthians work around it? The Verlocs don't move much faster than they speak, so for some shows, the Grunuthians can just slow the whole thing down and nobody complains. But for immersives, where the motion has to take place at full speed, the Verlocs prefer captions to audio translations. Apparently they're very fast readers. Which approach did Ask an Alien go with? Kelly said that a large part of the audience for this interview is likely to be Verlocs, so the Grunuthians decided to do two versions. Srithlin answered the question at his native speed, and for the non-Verloc broadcast, they'll just speed him up. For the Verloc edition, they'll slow Kelly down. Since it's not live, it doesn't matter that the Verloc version will be 3 times as long. The bunnies are probably thrilled with the extra commercial time, Paul said. You've forgotten the second law of thermodynamics, Joe pointed out. The Verloc commercials run 3 times as slow. You're applying the conservation of energy to advertising? Before he even finished asking, Paul realized that his foster father was just teasing and decided to get him back. Anyway, how are you going to get beer while you're off on Station Safari? You're going to send it to me, Joe replied seriously. Libby asked Griff to assign us a maintenance bot for the duration, sort of a private delivery service. It's not like we could have carried along a month's worth of food or foraged off of alien agriculture. You're calling it a camping trip, but you're planning to live on takeout? I already made a deal with Ian to send us their catering leftovers at a discount, so it should be an adventure in eating as well. Which deck are you going to start with? Paul asked, now that it was clear that the family would be vacationing in style. I saw the choices when Kelly replayed them for Aisha, and some of those abandoned alien sections look pretty interesting. I asked Jeeves about them, but he said he didn't want to spoil any surprises. Kelly and the kids couldn't agree, so they decided to let Libby pick for them. You didn't get a vote? I've already been to more places than I care to remember, Joe replied. I'm just happy to be able to take Dorothy and Samuel on vacation without having to get them a bunch of inoculations against flesh-eating bacteria. And thank you for talking your wife into letting us bring Alia along. It wasn't a hard sell in the end. It wouldn't have been any fun for the girl to hang around Max Bones after school with just me and Dring for company. Aisha doesn't think it's appropriate to take Alia to work when she's not in the cast rotation. Now that's all settled, are you going to be around for the game? Joe asked. Hurl is coming tonight, and he always has a couple interesting tricks up his tentacle. Aisha and I are taking the kids out to dinner and an immersive, Paul said. It's supposedly the first Earth production to gain any traction with the alien audiences. Something about children and dragons bonding together as warrior pairs to fight an invasion. I hope it's not too scary for Samuel and Alia, Joe said. Samuel only turned 6 a couple weeks ago. Aisha got all of the details from the Grunuthian distributor. It's based on the first part of some old series that's 7 books long, and the invasion doesn't happen until the last book. They're only making one every other year so they can show the actors growing up. Samuel will be done with the school by the time it gets bloody. I sort of remember seeing a movie series when I was a kid that had been made that way, Joe said. My parents told me that there was a time when the release of a new sequel was a big event, with people lining up outside of theaters in the middle of the night to be the first to get tickets.
Paul put a hand to his ear, a courtesy gesture many humans used when carrying on a subvoked discussion over implants. He seemed to be listening more than replying, and finally he said out loud,
I'll be right there. Something wrong? Joe asked.
Just my brain, Paul replied. Aisha and the kids are waiting for me in the Little Apple. I thought we were meeting here. See you later. Paul jogged off towards the exit from Max Bones, and Joe busied himself setting up for the poker game. He put out the chips and found a fresh deck of cards. Then he remembered that Kelly had volunteered to help Donna set up for the monthly Earth Scent mixer and would no doubt fill up on free finger food from the caterers. He went into the kitchen and made a meal out of leftovers for himself, though most of it ended up in Beowulf's stomach. Then the man and the reincarnated dog took a stroll around Max Bones to see if there were any last-minute emergencies before the card players began arriving. 3 hours later, Joe was beginning to wish that one of the campers had flagged him down for an urgent repair.
Are you two playing teams or something? Lynx asked Shaina, throwing down her cards in disgust. Every time Jeeves drops out of the bidding, you take the pot, and every time you drop out, he takes it.
We just know each other's style from playing countless hands on the auction circuit, Shaina explained. She raked the pot into her large pile, leaving a 10 millicred chip in the middle of the table to ante for the next hand. You're lucky Brenda isn't here tonight, because she and Jeeves are practically telepathic.
You're just making excuses because you can't accept that your sister has a better poker face than you do, Jeeves told his business partner. It's a wonder she doesn't bluff every hand, given your inability to read her.
Can I deal this time, or am I still on gopher duty? Daniel asked.
It seemed that whenever the cards came his way, Joe sent him to refill the pitcher, explaining that the house went by mercenary rules, where the youngest did all of the running. When the junior consul returned from his last trip to the brew room, he found Beowulf sitting next to his chair, glumly shaking his massive head. Fortunately, the Horavian hound had folded Daniel's hand rather than trying to draw to an inside straight, so the beer run only cost him his ante.
I guess we can let you give it a try, Joe replied. My luck can't get any worse. Just don't call any of that one-eyed jacks and suicide kings nonsense. Actually, I was kind of hoping to talk you guys into a hand of rainbow, Daniel insinuated. Any objections?
I don't have a Horton deck, Joe said.
I brought my own.
The junior consul pulled a fat box out of an inner pocket and shook out the alien deck. He smiled self-consciously before spinning all of the cards from one hand to the other in a magician's arc. In his best imitation of a Wild West saloon gambler, Wujin drawled,
I think we got us a card sharp, Joe. Last time I saw anybody do that at a poker game, it ended in a knife fight.
Not in my house, Kelly called from the couch, without looking up from her book. Joe and Wujin exchanged glances. Neither of them missed the bad old days, but there were times when the poker games and Max Bones with the ambassador in the wings seemed just a little too tame.
Does everybody know the rules? Daniel inquired, pausing before he dealt.
What kind of Drazen would know the rules to a Horton card game? Hurl asked, doing his best to look offended. The spymaster kind, Lynx retorted. I've seen you in the casino.
Rainbow it is, Daniel announced, and began dealing the cards around to the eight players. In deference to my elders, I won't call any wilds, but these are genuine Horton cards, not the cheap Dalnik knockoffs.
You mean they can change color spontaneously? Shaina asked. I've heard of them, of course, but I've never played with the genuine article.
It's not exactly spontaneous. They're just trying to blend in, Wujin explained. If you have four red ones, a blue one, and a white one, they might all turn pink after a while. So if you keep the bidding going long enough, a garbage hand could turn into a flush or a straight into a straight flush.
Don't help her, Lynx said gruffly. She's already got half of our chips. Now who's playing teams? Shaina replied archly. Thank you, Wujin. I'll keep that in mind when your fiancé is bidding.
Hang on, Hurl said. Somebody didn't ante.
Dealer doesn't ante in Horton games, Daniel informed him. Are you sure you've played this before?
Of course, the Drazen spymaster said, but he looked and sounded rather like a confused old man.
5 minutes later, he looked like a happy, middle-aged gambler raking in a pot.
I can't believe I fell for that, Lynx groaned.
She began stacking her remaining chips by color to see how far she was down.
Of course, she mimicked the Drazen. I'm just a poor old spymaster in over his head who doesn't even know the rules to the game.
My cards never changed color, Jeeves complained. If the white one had just turned blue, I would have had a higher straight flush than Hurl.
Maybe you didn't want it hard enough, Shaina suggested. I don't think it's fair that I have to abstain from using my natural talents while the rest of you are allowed to affect the color of the cards with your emotions. I vote that artificial intelligence at these games be allowed to employ one non-memory-related advantage.
The humans and the Drazen all extended a hand with a thumb pointed down.
It's not like you ever go home a loser, Lynx said. If we let you start reading skin temperatures or applying facial analysis algorithms, you'd have a catalog of tells as good as reading our minds. Besides, you could just skip any future Horton hands or let Beowulf sit in for you.
Nix on that, Joe interrupted. If I have to choose between Jeeves reading my skin temperature and Beowulf sniffing out my emotions, I'll go with Jeeves every time. Besides, you don't want to be in the same room if that hound loses a big pot. He never could stop himself from going all in on aces.
It's my deal,
Wujin said, retrieving the standard deck of cards and shuffling.
5-card stud. Everyone antes, no blinds.
Did I mention that some guy tried to get me to sign an anti-Earth-sent petition in the Little Apple at lunch today?
Daniel asked. The game stalled while Wujin picked up the cards after misfiring on an attempt to imitate the junior console's card trick.
He seemed to think we're collaborating with the Strix to repress him.
Here? On the station? Kelly looked up from her book again. Why didn't you tell me?
You and Donna were out all afternoon setting up for the dance thing,
Daniel reminded her.
I invited the guy to come to the embassy next week and talk to us about it, but who knows if he'll show up.
Did he sound sane? Kelly asked. We've had complaints about Earth-sent from time to time, but never a petition.
He was very polite and his suit looked expensive, Daniel said. Do you get a lot of political protests here?
This is the first one I've heard about, Kelly replied. I don't get it at all. If he doesn't trust us or the Styx, what's he planning to do with all of the signatures? I remember reading about petitions somewhere, and the whole point was to deliver them to whoever is in authority.
I guess I should have taken the time to read it, but I was too hungry, Daniel said. He mentioned that he only arrived yesterday, so it's hard to imagine that he has anything against the Union Station Embassy in particular. He did say some pretty harsh things about the tyranny of the unelected, though.
Did you hear that, Joe? Kelly asked. Somebody told Daniel that I'm a tyrant.
I'm sitting right here, Kel. You don't have to say everything twice,
Joe responded in exasperation.
Are you sure you don't want to try a hand?
No. You know how I feel about gambling, Kelly replied, looking down at her book again. It seemed like she'd been on the same page for a half an hour.
This may be a red herring, but I watch the mercenary job boards just to keep up with the flow, and I've seen a number of human settlements posting requests for police contractors in the last few days,
Wujin said. He paused to deal out the first two cards.
I was going to bring it up with Clive when I had enough data points, but the interesting thing is who was placing the ads.
You just told us, Link said. Human settlements.
The work was on human settlements, but in all of the ads, the contact person was listed as a mayor or executive of some sort. I've never been to a human settlement with an executive form of government. Even those two off-network colony worlds we visited, Kibbutz and Bits, handled everything informally.
It makes sense that independent groups of humans who find they require a government would look to their history for precedence,
Hurl said. He peeked at his hole card and grimaced.
I believe that Drazen cities had something like mayors before we began settling other worlds.
How does colonizing space change the need for government? Lynx asked. If anything, I would have guessed that frontier worlds and colonies would have even more need of a strong executive. I used to go armed and worry about losing my cargo to criminals when trading took me to those places.
By the time we developed faster-than-light capability and joined the tunnel network, we'd had a much longer time to mature than humans,
Hurl replied modestly.
At some point, your typical species discovers that the most economically efficient way to run a community is to get along with one another. The infrastructure and service providers who collect fees are the closest thing to local government on most Drazen worlds. While we aren't immune to crime, it's handled by our planetary defense forces.
My cards tonight are a crime,
Joe growled, refilling his glass from the pitcher. So you're saying that thanks to the Strix, humans have gone from hitting each other over the head with rocks to flying around the stars without having the time to become civilized? Lynx asked.
The effort required to develop these science and technology for even the crudest jump drives requires a high degree of cooperation,
Hurl replied.
Was there ever a time that humans were willing to invest half of their economic output into something that would take generations to accomplish?
Aren't there any aliens who figure out the science stuff for themselves before they're ready for it? Kelly asked.
Would you at least please come and sit with us if you're going to participate in the conversation?
Joe begged his wife.
I'm getting a sore neck looking over at you every 2 minutes.
I'm reading, Kelly replied, but she waited for Hurl's answer.
Technology outpacing maturity is one of the defining factors for unstable species,
Hurl replied.
It doesn't always end badly, of course, but many of those species who survive long enough to join the tunnel network end up retiring back to their own worlds because they can't get along with the rest of us.
The rest of you can get along without me for a hand,
Joe said in disgust, mucking his cards and rising from the table.
Kelly, I'm getting you a chair.
I don't want to interfere with your game, Kelly protested, but she...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?